This is UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
12 months ago, Ronaldo and co. had a landmark day in Cardiff.
For the first time in UEFA Champions League history, the trophy retained. And retained by Real Madrid. 12 times winners now.
Can Zinedine Zidane's men make it three in a row by beating this season's most potent attack?
Salah scores!
Mane! It's a five-star performance from Liverpool.
And it's Roberto Firmino again. And even the Roma fans are applauding Liverpool. It's 5-0.
You'll hear from star names from both sides in our full preview of the 2018 final right here on the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live podcast. Well, what a match we have in store. It's the holders, Real Madrid versus Liverpool in the UEFA Champions League final. Echoes, of course, of the European Cup final in 1981, which Liverpool edged due to a famous Alan Kennedy goal in Paris. I'm Rob Daly, and in this special preview show, you'll hear from Jurgen Klopp, Zinedine Zidane, Jordan Henderson, Roberto Firmino, and Sergio Ramos ahead of the showdown in Ukraine. There's so much to talk about with my guest today, UEFA.com's European football expert Chris Parrott and Match Day Live's commentator for the final, Phil Blacker. Phil, it should be a good one.
Certainly should. Cannot wait for this. It's two of the great names in European football, isn't it? But perhaps more pertinently, two of the form teams in European football this season. Certainly in terms of attacking talent, the two top scoring teams hopefully will set up a wonderful spectacle as well as the obvious importance of the stakes.
Yeah, absolutely. True footballing, European footballing royalty in Kiev, isn't it? 17 European Cups between these two sides and remarkably 51 UEFA finals. And on top of that, Real Madrid have the chance to win it for a third time in a row. And if they do, we are talking about arguably the greatest team this competition has ever seen, perhaps since the 50s when Real Madrid kicked off the competition in such style. No one has managed to get anywhere close to what Real Madrid could achieve in recent times if they win three in a row.
If you can't watch it, don't forget Match Day Live will bring you every kick at the Olimpijski Stadium. Listen on UEFA.com and on the official UEFA Champions League app. The show starts at 19:30 Central European Time this Saturday. That's the 26th of May. Cancel all plans. You do not want to miss this one. Also, we're going to read some of your tweets out on the show. We've been asking you for your questions for myself, Chris and Phil at Champions League on Twitter. We'll get to some of those very shortly. But let's start by reflecting on how our two finalists made it through the knockout stages. First, Real Madrid, who faced a strong Paris Saint-Germain side in the round of 16.
Casemiro's shot is deflected, and that has surely taken Real Madrid into the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League. Paris Saint-Germain 1, Real Madrid 2. Real Madrid lead 5-2 on aggregate. Ronaldo goes for the overhead kick, scores an unbelievable goal. Mitrini puts it in. They have the third. And my goodness me, listen to the scoreline. Real Madrid 0, Juventus 3. It's 3-3 on aggregate. Real Madrid win a penalty. It was Lucas Vazquez that went down. Can you believe it? In the third minute of injury time.
Szczesny in for the sent-off. Buffon, can he deny Cristiano Ronaldo? 97th minute of the match. Ronaldo scores! Cristiano Ronaldo boots it with his right foot into the top corner. Takes off his shirt. Poses in front of the Real Madrid fans. An incredible night. A night that looked to be slipping away for Real Madrid. Ends with them heading into the semi-finals after all.
Asensio, he could be played in by Lucas Vazquez. He has been played in. Asensio scores! A devastating counter-attack. It's Bayern 1, Real Madrid 2.
Joshua Kimmich, from 6 metres out, reacts quicker than anybody to turn the ball home. It is the dream start that Bayern so crave.
That's the cross. It's towards Benzema, free header, 1-1.
And we are underway at the start of the second half.
Oh, the goalkeeper's made a horrible error, and Karim Benzema scores the goal that surely will put Real Madrid through to the final in Kiev. It's broken towards Hammers, who goes again and scores. And he doesn't celebrate against his parent club, but what he has done is given Bayern München hope. And Real Madrid survive, and they're through to the final again. And they're looking for three in a row.
Sí, la verdad que casi yo, como bien dicen, no una de las...
Yes, it was one of the toughest possible routes to get to the final. And getting there is the reward for all the hard work that we've put in. That should be taken into consideration, because along the way we've knocked out Paris Saint-Germain, Juve and Bayern, who were among the favourites to win this competition. I think it's made us stronger, ahead of what will certainly be a tough final. I hope we can bring another UEFA Champions League trophy back home for our fans, and on a personal level, add another to my collection, and make history by winning our third in a row.
Levantar tres consecutivas sería algo histórico.
Real Madrid skipper Sergio Ramos there would be their fourth title in five seasons as well. Many winners' medals for Sergio Ramos. Chris, we were talking about the running that they've had. And Sergio Ramos mentioned the teams there. Not only that, but Tottenham and Dortmund in the group stage along with Apoel. This has been a far tougher run than Liverpool's, let's face it, to get to Kiev.
Most definitely. Arguably couldn't have been any harder from the moment, as you mentioned, the group stage draw was made. And remember, they finished as runners-up in the section behind Tottenham, took only 1 point from Spurs, lost at Wembley in that incredible game. And then when the last 16 draw was made in December in Nyon, and it was Paris Saint-Germain, you thought, could this be the end of their run? Now, remember, they were 1-0 down at home in the first leg. Paris Saint-Germain, who had been brilliant in the group stage with that front three. And we're going to talk about another front three for a lot of this show. But in the group stage, Mbappe, Cavani and Neymar were supposedly the three who were going to fire Paris Saint-Germain maybe to the final for the first time. But they went 1-0 down and you thought, this is a huge test now. And then on half-time, they won a penalty, which Ronaldo scored, made it 1-1. And from then on, they didn't look back. And they've actually been better away from home than they have at home. You know, they have been fantastic. They beat Bayern. They beat Juventus and they beat Paris Saint-Germain away from home. Phenomenal. And they've been, you know, they've been fabulous against, as you said, some of the best teams in European football.
And there's been nervy moments every step of the way, I think, even though that there has been very composed performances in this run, Phil. You think back to losing to Paris in the first leg. They were losing in that tie. Juve, they had the late wobble at the Bernabeu. Bayern gave them a real scare as well. How much of this do you think is down to not only the quality in the team, but the mental strength that the group has?
I think it is down to the experience that they've garnered over winning this competition in the last couple of seasons. As a group, there's not been too many notable additions to that group. It's a squad of players that has remained, for the most part, consistent over the last couple of years. Domestically, maybe some people say that could have cost them. But I think in this competition, that know-how is so crucial. And we've seen it so often in this competition. As Chris mentioned, they've been fantastic away from home. Everybody remembers what happened in the second leg against Juventus, how close they came to going out of the competition and almost throwing away that lead. But it was a 3-0 win in the first leg away at Juventus, who just don't lose at home in the UEFA Champions League until Real Madrid were sensational, I think, for large periods of that first leg. But even then, maybe they did think that the job was done going into that second leg subconsciously. To go then 3-0 down, not easy in football, is it, to flick a switch and suddenly get a grip back on the game again. And yet they found a way to go through. And when they have faced those tricky patches, and there have been a number of them, as you mentioned, on this route to the final, they have found a way. They've relied on that experience, that know-how, that mentality that they never know when they're beaten. They always somehow come up with something. And that's why they're back at this stage for a third year running.
Yeah, and you know what? The amount of times I've seen this season and last season and, frankly, the year before, with Zinedine Zidane and Real Madrid, this, oh, you know, they got a bit lucky there. That happens once. It doesn't happen.
It's not luck, is it? It's
not luck. In those moments, they find a way somehow. And that's what champion teams do. And hey, there's not much luck if you've reached three UEFA Champions League finals in a row, as we said, particularly against the teams that they have faced this campaign in the competition.
So while Real Madrid have won three of the last four finals, free-scoring Liverpool haven't won the UEFA Champions League since 2005, here's their road through the knockout stages.
30 metres out from goal, Mane! It's a five-star performance from Liverpool, who are bulldozering their way into the last eight of the UEFA Champions League. Porto 0, Liverpool 5.
And Salah scores! Liverpool 1, Manchester Manchester City 0. Oxley Chamberlain strikes it. What a goal! Mane! 3! This is incredible at Anfield. And a chance to counter for City's right at the start. Sterling has found Jesus, who scores! Less than 2 minutes on the clock, and that's the start they wanted. Salah goes round the goalkeeper and digs it home! Firmino's in on goal, but Liverpool scores! Roberto Firmino has sealed Liverpool's place in the semi-finals of the UEFA Champions League. After a decade, they are back. And Manchester City's dreams are dashed.
Now Salah, just to the left, goes for the far post! What a goal! Here's Mo Salah, is it 2-0? Yes it is! Headed towards the far post, and in! And it's Roberto Firmino again! And even the Roma fans are applauding Liverpool. It's 5-0. Diego Perotti, and he sent it into the roof of Karius's net. And it's Liverpool 5, Roma 2.
And Mane has scored! The mistake from Roma, supremely punished. Oh, it's bounced back in, an own goal! Oh, a crazy goal! How much discomfort might that cause for Liverpool? By now, there's not any home! And a four-goal cushion restored. It comes back out of Dzeko, who scores! The strike from Nainggolan, it's a super goal! And in the 93rd minute, a penalty for Roma. Nainggolan for 4-2, flaps it in. Is there time to even restart the match? Roma lead 4-2 now, are one goal away from forcing extra time. The whistle is gone, and Liverpool players go down to the grass and beat the turf with relief. They have the keys to Kiev.
We came in that competition as a qualifier and are now in the final. And I'm really, really happy for the boys. I'm really happy for the club. I'm really happy for our fans. It was a fantastic ride so far, and yeah, now we will go to Kiev. I think over the whole Champions League campaign so far, it's absolutely deserved.
Liverpool reach their first final since 2007 there. Jurgen Klopp with his thoughts as his side reached the showpiece in Kiev. Phil, it has been a truly bonkers run, isn't it? I think it'd be fair to say for Liverpool. I mean, I would argue as well, every stage they've been the favourites to progress, aside from the Manchester City quarter-final, but they dispatched to the side that have dominated the English Premier League in some style, and that's probably, would it be fair to say, been the defining performance of this run.
The standout results, certainly. I think probably standout performance as well as it needed to be, given the season that Manchester City were having at that juncture as well. But I think Liverpool have grown in belief. We talk about the experience and belief that Real Madrid have had. I think for Liverpool, very different scenario, of course, for this squad of players. They're learning on the job, and they've grown in belief as it's gone on. I remember thinking, actually, when the playoff draw was made and they came up against Hoffenheim.
Yeah.
It's a huge game for Liverpool. Yeah. That could almost define their season.
It was the toughest draw they could have had.
Yeah, I wasn't sure they were even necessarily going to get through that. They did in some style in the end. And I think we got a little insight there into the sort of season it was going to be, with certainly the four goals in the second leg. Goals are plenty in that remarkable group stage, which highlighted, I think, the defensive deficiencies as well, particularly in the Sevilla game, but also refreshing to see the way they dealt with that, because it seemed like Liverpool's response to the concession of the goals was, well, we'll simply score more than you will. And they've taken that in to the knockout stages as well, emphasised more than anything in that Roma semi-final.
I've just seen you've written down Van Dijk, which is exactly what I was going to say. I brought him in in January. That Sevilla performance when they were 3-0 up on match day 5, going through as group winners, and then they contrived to throw that away. Actually went into match day 6, not through. Could have gone out, then thumped Spartak at home at Anfield. And then I think as soon as they got into the knockout stages, that performance away at Porto when they scored 5 goals in the last 16 first leg, suddenly Liverpool were talking about being back. And when they get going, Liverpool, particularly at home, particularly with their fans behind them, they're very difficult to stop. They always have been in this competition. And Jurgen Klopp has absolutely harnessed that. But it's been a bit of a balmy run, hasn't it? It's been so Jurgen Klopp in a way, so entertaining. And the semi-final, 7-6 on aggregate. I mean, we heard the commentary there. That was a crazy two legs.
Semi-final.
Liverpool were 5-0 up, remember?
And you were there, Chris. Yeah. I mean, what kind of atmosphere was that like? And what was the performance like as Liverpool?
It's one of those moments when you are very privileged to be there and you actually think this is in terms of atmosphere, one of the best I've ever seen live. The first 70 minutes of that Liverpool were sensational. Actually, the first 20 minutes, Roma were probably the better team and hit the bar through Alexander Kolarov, which everyone forgets. And then it became the Mo Salah show. It was phenomenal. But as I said, Liverpool were 5-0 up. And from that moment in the semi-final, they lost 6-2 over the next 100 minutes of football and still went through. It was brilliant. And I think we'll get onto it in a moment. But that is the way Liverpool play and are at their best. And I can't see them doing anything different in Kiev, which is one of the reasons I think it's going to be a fantastic football match as well as a brilliant occasion.
They have to approach it that way, I think, don't they? I don't think there's any other way they can, particularly given the side that they're coming up. But to get to this juncture and to try and change things around to maybe try and tighten it up at the back, I just don't think it's going to work. They have to do what they've done to get here. It's worked wonderfully well. They've had nervy moments along the way, of course. They brought us great entertainment along the way. I would be staggered if Jurgen Klopp and his side approached this any other way.
OK, we're going to talk specifically then about the final very shortly, but while we're sort of looking back a little bit, let's look at our highlights from the competition as a whole. Chris, I know Salah's performance at Anfield against Roma was one of yours, but there was also an encounter in the group stage, I think, that you picked out as one of your favourite encounters.
Yeah, me and Phil were covering it together, actually. The game at Wembley when Tottenham beat Real Madrid.
Yeah.
It felt like, you know, we walked away from that thinking this is Spurs' coming-of-age performance. And, of course, they ended up going out to Juventus in a bit of a mad second leg when Juve scored two goals very quickly and went through. But that night when they dispatched the two-time European champions was fantastic.
Looking back as well, people were saying, oh, this is the end of that Real Madrid
era,
even that early.
Yeah.
And here we are with another final.
And, you know, it was how much can Tottenham improve in sort of their second season in the competition under Mauricio Pochettino. And that night, having drawn away at the Bernabeu, felt like the evening when you thought, here come Tottenham as potential contenders. I mentioned Paris Saint-Germain, but the new kids on the block have faded away and it is Real Madrid again and Liverpool, who are a new team. But of course, as a club, they have such a rich history. And this season, that seems to have been the way that the old names, the traditional powerhouses, have come to the fore once again.
One of my highlights was Sevilla's win at Manchester United in the knockout stages. Wissam Ben Yedder off the bench with two goals. Of course, Montella then a few weeks later lost his job as Sevilla boss. It's been such a mad season for Sevilla as well. But an extraordinary night at Old Trafford, one of the upsets of the season. Phil, do you have a standout moment?
There are a couple for me. One, tactically, Chris kind of touched on it in the second leg of the Tottenham-Juventus game, the switch that Max Allegri made, brought on essentially a couple of fullbacks in Lichtsteiner and Asamoah in a tie where Tottenham up until that point had been much the better side. And two goals in 3 minutes, Juventus showed their experience. Allegri showed why he's
brutal,
one of the best in the business.
It
was absolutely incredible. That tie was decided really in those 3 minutes and by that switch. But for one standalone moment, I think, of the competition for me was Roma's third in the quarter final against Barcelona, having lost 4-1 away from home to get it back to the Stadio Olimpico. And Costas Manolas puts them 3-0 up against Barca. I mean, regardless that they then went on to bow out in the next stage to Liverpool, that one moment alone and what it meant in Rome that night, the scenes of celebration that followed. I think the president was in the fountain in the city centre afterwards, wasn't it? Just absolutely incredible. That encapsulated for me what this UEFA Champions League's all been about.
Costas Manolas's face as he... One of those adrenaline moments when he sprinted probably as quickly as he's ever run to halfway. and that's the, as you said, the celebrations in the dressing room in Rome. Yeah, so many stories. But that Barcelona team, everyone was talking about them. I mean, they've won La Liga comfortably ahead of Real Madrid and Atletico. And you thought, OK, you know, people were talking about the treble and all of a sudden they lose 3-0 in the second leg to Roma, who...
You in particular, Chris, if I remember, gave Roma absolutely no chance of turning that around.
I may have said they had minus 5% chance, which is why I'm not a mathematician.
But it doesn't make sense.
But I mean, I just didn't think they'd be able to do it.
No one did.
And the Costas Manolas, I mean, he's hardly a regular
exactly.
goal scorer. Defender comes up for a corner and heads them into the semi-finals.
OK, well, let's look at some of the stats now ahead of the final. Liverpool, of course, have scored the most goals in the competition. They've scored 40 times. Real Madrid behind them in second with 30, and half of those from Cristiano Ronaldo. Both sides have conceded a similar amount of goals. Real Madrid 15 to Liverpool's 13. And as something Phil mentioned earlier, Chris, you can only expect this to be a final with lots of goals in it.
Yeah, I think it has to be. I went through this season as a whole as well in all competitions. Real Madrid, 145 goals in 94 games. Liverpool 134 goals in 84 games. It's a similar type of, I think it's about well over one and a half goals a game that they've scored. But in this competition, it's been extraordinary. And for Liverpool, they scored 40 goals, of which 29 have been scored by that front three. You know, they have been unbelievable. And I think Roberto Firmino has 8 assists as well as his 10 goals. I'll get on to him in a moment. But yeah. Going forward, they look a more well-oiled machine than Real Madrid. But as we've said, Cristiano Ronaldo is playing for one of the teams and he's got 15 goals, which, I mean, we could be talking about another record-breaking season, breaking his own record of goal scoring in this competition. And he loves the final goal, let's be honest. I think he's already scored in 3 in his career, including at Manchester United. So, you know, it's there's so many things we can pick apart in the next few minutes. But certainly that goal is to have scored 70 between them. I'd be surprised if it's 0-0.
Yeah, he's top of the goal scoring ranks himself right now, Ronaldo. And he will win it because he's 5 clear of Mo Salah on 10, Firmino on 10.
Well, this is Liverpool, you never know.
We've got some good stats in here, though. Salah's the highest scoring African player in a UEFA Champions League season. But Sadio Mane on 9 could catch him. Roberto Firmino's the highest scoring debutant player in a UEFA Champions League season. Sadio Mane can still catch him. So we'll see what happens to Kiev. Ben Yedder on 8, Dzeko on 8. Messi and Neymar both on 6.
Very good point, though, there. You know, we talk about experience of Real Madrid being here, seen it, done it. Firmino and Mane, and you can throw Karius into that mix in terms of big Liverpool players. First ever season in the UEFA Champions League, and they've reached the final.
Yeah, extraordinary. Then assists, bizarrely, Chris mentioned Firmino on 8, James Milner on 9. It's the most by a player in a single UEFA Champions League season. Let's hear from one of those players, by the way, on both of these lists, Roberto Firmino.
This is my first season in the UEFA Champions League, and I'm one of the leading scorers, alongside Cristiano Ronaldo and Mo Salah. I am pretty pleased and very happy with my performance and the entire team's performance, and I hope to keep that going into the final. We know about Real Madrid. They're always going to win titles in the UEFA Champions League and the Spanish League too. They're a great team and are very tough to play against. I've never played against them, but I've watched their games and they're very competitive. However, this is a final and a one-off game, a one-off moment, but they'll also be up against in Liverpool, a team and a club with a great pedigree. We are going to fight until the end.
Bobby Firmino, as he's known on Merseyside, 27 goals in all competitions this season. And he also got a couple, I think, in the playoff round against Hoffenheim. Phil, he's the all-rounder who leads Liverpool's line.
He really is contributing in absolutely every aspect of their game, defensively as well as the attacking stats that you just mentioned. Doesn't always get the headlines maybe that he merits, I think probably because of the form of Mo Salah this season, is the only reason.
I don't think he minds, does he, either?
I think he probably quite relishes life, not necessarily away from the spotlight, but a little bit in the shadow of Salah, because he's able to get on and do what he does. I would go as far to say, if you were to take one player out of this Liverpool side, which would significantly weaken the team, it wouldn't be Salah, it would be Roberto Firmino, because of the all-round contribution that you kind of touched on.
I'd agree. And you know what? There was a moment at Anfield in that the semi-final win over Roma when Salah had scored his 2 goals and, you know, they were singing the Mo Salah song. And then very quickly, the cop started singing Firmino's name. Yes, he had just set up Salah for the second goal on half-time to put them 2-0 up. But the fans and Jurgen Klopp very much appreciate what he does. And remember, we haven't even mentioned Philippe Coutinho, by the way, who left Liverpool in January to be the second most expensive player of all time. That was Firmino's, one of his best friends, on and off the pitch. And you did wonder when Coutinho went, would Firmino be quite the same person? I think he might have been. They were certainly, one of them was the best man at the other's wedding. Very, very close personal friends, as well as great on the pitch. But that doesn't seem to have affected him at all. And he's just gone from strength to strength.
He's got new bezies, Roberto Firmino, and we like his Kung Fu kick celebration too. Much more to come, by the way, on this special final preview podcast. We're going to hear from Zinedine Zidane and Jordan Henderson.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
So the 2018 UEFA Champions League final between Real Madrid and Liverpool at the Olimpijski in Kiev. Let's preview it now in depth, and we'll start by hearing more from Real Madrid's captain, Sergio Ramos.
Hombre, sabemos que va a ser un rival muy...
We know they're very tough opponents. They deserve to be in the final, and we know about the fantastic players that they have. They're very fast going forward and can really hurt you on the break. We're going to try to bear that in mind and neutralize that threat as much as we can. Firmino and Salah are such pacey and direct players who are very difficult to get hold of, so we'll try to keep them under control and ensure they don't have one of their inspired days, because they can certainly cause some damage.
Sergio Ramos there. So let's look at some of the team news. So we're obviously at the time of recording a few days ahead of the final. But Phil, there's been a lot of talk about Cristiano Ronaldo's fitness, because he picked up an injury in the Clásico, I want to say, a few weeks ago. Did return. You commentated on Real Madrid's game against Villarreal at the end of the Spanish Liga season. Did he look the 120% fit that Zinedine Zidane suggested he is? And I know that's mathematically improbable, but you know what you mean.
I would say 100% fit, yeah. He didn't show any signs of discomfort. I think the plan was always to play him in that game to make sure he'd got one game since the Clásico under his belt ahead of the final. He missed two matches with the ankle sprain. The plan was to bring him back in what, apart from the goalkeeper, Lucas Zidane actually played his first senior game for his dad. The plan and the side was full strength, certainly for the first half against Villarreal before the inevitable changes. Ronaldo scored, put them 2-0 in front, came off after an hour of the game. Again, I think always going according to the script, which was set in stone before the game, and didn't have any sort of issues at that time. In fact, when they went off, Real Madrid were still 2-0 up and in complete command. Three big names came off, Ronaldo being the first of them, and Villarreal actually came back to claim a point, denied Real Madrid the chance of finishing second in the Liga. But the bigger picture for Zinedine Zidane in that game, and it was a big call to play the vast majority of his likely first choice starting 11, because certainly as the game went on, the challenges were flying in from Villarreal. They were looking to do the double over Real Madrid for the first time in their history, so they'd already finished fifth in the table. They still had a bit to play for. There were some fairly meaty challenges going in. One or two concerns for Zidane, but I think at the end of the game, everybody that he wanted to come through it unscathed did come through it unscathed, particularly Ronaldo. Got an hour of the game, got his goal. From his perspective, it couldn't really have gone much better.
He said he expects to have a full squad in Kiev, so do we want to try and work out the Real Madrid team? And I'll give us a base point.
Do we have to? I mean, it's been impossible.
It's only because we're all going to look a bit stupid an hour before kickoff. But Navas will start in goal, and it will be Carvajal, Varane, Ramos, Marcelo. Surely no arguments there. Cruz and Modric will both definitely start.
Yes.
And Ronaldo will definitely start.
And beyond that, well, you say...
Because even Casemiro got rested for didn't play a game against Juve at home. But no, against Bayern at home.
But I think this has been the one difference this season to last season, is that last season, going into the final, you knew that how Real Madrid were going to line up, and the front three, if you like, was going to be Isco behind Ronaldo and Benzema. Remember, Bale was injured and then didn't get back in the team because Isco was sensational and started on the bench in Cardiff, his home city. This season, every single night of the UEFA Champions League, we've got the team news in from Real Madrid, and we've all looked around and thought, what on earth is
Casemiro
going on?
Casemiro on the bench, Lucas Vazquez starting, I mean, Asensio up front when we didn't expect him to
Vazquez
play.
Vazquez at right back at some stage against Bayern. So, you know, Zidane's got it spot on every single time.
I can tell you're trying to avoid guessing the team.
Oh, no, I am. But also, I just it's going to be a nightmare for Klopp to try and work out who
that
he's going to come up.
That's a very good point. So, Benzema to start, Phil.
I'm not convinced he will. I think that could be the surprise this time. Benzema was on the bench in that game against Villarreal on Saturday when Isco and Bale both played in support of Ronaldo. You wouldn't necessarily read too much into that in terms of the final, but otherwise it was the goalkeeper aside, as I mentioned. I think the team that will probably start the final, I think Casemiro has to start it with Kroos and Modric.
Okay.
I think he will. But if I was to hazard a guess, I think Bale has made such a late run of form. He scored five in his last four now in the Spanish Liga, reaching, I think, his peak form at just the right time. I think he's probably done enough to convince Zidane to play him. Isco, I know he had that little spell out with a shoulder problem, but he's returned in time. He's had a wonderful season. He has played in pretty much all of these big games. And, of course, Ronaldo, I think Benzema could be.
Yeah, and
I want to miss out.
I think a month ago, Bale's not in the team. He is Real Madrid's second top scorer this season, by the way, behind Ronaldo. Chris, you've jotted it down.
Yeah, I think I've gone the same. Kroos, Modric, Casemiro, Isco, Bale and Ronaldo, which, again, Benzema misses out. And actually, Vazquez, as much as Benzema missing out, because in the away game at Bayern, Benzema was on the bench in the semi-final and they won. You know, in a way, at that stage, before the end of the season, Bale starting would have been a much bigger surprise than Asensio or Vasquez.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I agree. I think Gareth Bale might just have done enough to start alongside Ronaldo as a front two with Isco just behind.
Okay. What are Liverpool's own expectations for the final? Here's their captain, Jordan Henderson. And first, Jurgen Klopp on the challenge ahead and the potential in this Liverpool squad.
These boys go constantly over their limit. Constantly, and I'm really proud of that. And we will be ready, but it's Real Madrid, so we don't have to talk about any things. You cannot be more experienced in that competition than Real Madrid. I think pretty much 80% of the team of Real Madrid played all these finals four times in the last 5 years, and they are still together. So if you talk about experience, they are experienced, we are not, but we will be really on fire. Can be a good opponent in the final. That's first of all what you have to be, and then we'll see what happens then.
We haven't achieved anything yet. We've got to remember that. We haven't won anything. They're a very good team with very good players. Got a lot of experience. We've won a lot of trophies. So, of course, there'll be favourites to win it, but I just believe in this group. I believe in the team, the manager, everybody, that if we give it everything and we play like I know we can, then I've got full faith that we can go and hurt them and hopefully beat them.
Jordan Henderson there, of course, who we expect to start the final, the Liverpool captain. I don't think there's going to be many surprises from a Liverpool team selection point of view, Phil, largely because in the central midfield, there's not a lot to work with right now, even though that Emre Can did train with the team this week.
Yeah, it would be a huge call to bring him back into the team, wouldn't it? With no match action under his belt since March, I think. I know Jurgen Klopp hasn't entirely ruled it out, but that would be a huge surprise. Oxlade-Chamberlain, another missing, of course, until next season, who has been important. So not too many options in there, but necessarily I don't think Jurgen Klopp's going to be that concerned because he has a settled side now at the end of the season. He's still got enough strength in that midfield three to feed the front three, who we all know, barring injuries, of course, who they're going to be. And defensively, they have tightened up as this competition has gone on as well. So I don't think there will be any surprises in that Liverpool side, but not necessarily an issue for them.
So Karius in goal. Stop me if there's an issue here. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Van Dijk, Lovren, Robertson, Milner, Henderson, Wijnaldum, Salah, Firmino, Mane. Right, yep. That's pretty nailed on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be... Just to come back to Emre Can, I think Jurgen Klopp said he's desperate to play, but he hasn't played for 2 months. If you believe the report, certainly, this is going to be maybe the last game he's involved in as a Liverpool player before potentially moving on in the summer. So the good thing they do have is that they might have Emre Can to be able to come on because they do play at this incredible intensity, Liverpool. There have been times this season when it's slightly dropped off, particularly after the first 45 minutes. So whereas a couple of weeks ago, he probably thought he only had three central midfielders. Yeah. Now, they can go 110%. That's another mathematical stat which hasn't worked. But you see what I mean? And knowing in the knowledge they do have someone that could come on to replace one of those three central midfielders.
And we'll talk about Salah in a moment, but let's do the fullbacks because Trent Alexander-Arnold from nowhere, but people at Liverpool knew that he was going to be an excellent player, now going to the World Cup with England as part of the 23-man squad. And then you've got Andy Robertson, who 5 years ago was helping on the phone sell tickets at Hampden Park, was relegated with Hull a year ago, and now suddenly is going to be trying to mark either Ronaldo or Bale or Isco or someone in this final.
And both of them have been sensational this season, haven't they? Alexander-Arnold had a difficult night in the second leg against Roma.
Absolutely. The second half, yeah, second very half. Much so.
But what I have really liked about him is that I feel like he's been targeted by Guardiola and then by Di Francesco as, okay, here's this young, you know, Liverpool fan as well. There's a great story about him only a couple of years ago, really, driving past the training ground with his mum and his brothers and standing on top of his car to get a peek into Melwood. It's one of those great tales if he were then to go and lift the UEFA Champions League, what it would mean to him. But certainly those coaches have identified and thought, let's target him maybe. And he's been fabulous. And Andy Robertson, you know, almost from the moment, I think it was in January when Liverpool beat Manchester City in the Premier League to end their unbeaten run. And he was unbelievable that day. He's just gone...
Wasn't in the team at the start of the season. It took him, I want to say, 3-4 months maybe to actually get in ahead of Moreno. An incredible impact from him. Shall we talk about Mo Salah? Mo Salah time? 44 goals, all competitions. He's won every single individual accolade going in England this season. Phil, how surprised, how incredible has this campaign been from the Egyptian international?
absolutely staggering season. I thought at the time he would be a good signing when they brought him in from Roma. He had the attributes to suit the Premier League, little previous taste of it at Chelsea on the fringes. But I've got to be honest, I don't think anybody really saw the extent of the influence that he was going to have this season.
44 goals he scored all competitions.
Just,
yeah.
The statistics are just absolutely astonishing. But it's also, I think, the mentality. He goes into every game. I think it's three games, and that was towards the end of the season in the Premier League, where that was the longest all season he hadn't scored. And he's not even, of course, a central striker, but every time he goes out there, you just feel he's going to have a major influence on the game. He's going to score a goal. He's missed chances this season. You know, his goal tally could have been even more, but he's always crucially in the position to take those chances. And if he does miss one, he scores the next one. His influence has just been astonishing. And he seems to have grown in strength and belief as the season has gone on. Really like this Liverpool team as a collective. He touched on Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, neither of whom were really in the team at the start of the season, and yet what wonderful seasons they've gone on to have. Mo Salah is the prime example of that, and a World Cup to come at the end of it, and now this wonderful opportunity for him in the UEFA Champions League. If he can go on and say score the winning goal in the final, I think it's a season that we may never see the like of again, just out of nothing, but certainly that nobody saw coming.
No, and the coolness of his finishes, I think the couple against Roma, the one against Manchester City in the second leg of the quarterfinal.
He was basically playing on one leg in that time, yeah. And he was injured in that game. He, and produced that.
I remember Manchester City scored early as they were going to try and come back from 3-0 down, and you thought, oh, maybe it's on, and then that finish was sensational. And for me, that is the key tactical battle of the final, is Mo Salah, as they sing, running down the wing, on the right, Marcelo, Real Madrid's left back, who has arguably been, well, I think he scored in both of their wins away at Juventus and also at Bayern.
Scored in all three knockout rounds,
yeah.
I think.
And he, for me, is the key. It sounds silly with Ronaldo, but the key for Real Madrid. How did Liverpool stop him? And how did Liverpool get beyond him? Because when he bombs forward, there will be space. That space will be where Mo Salah is. So how that one plays out, I think the winner of that battle will probably determine who wins the UEFA Champions League final.
Okay, let's get the view then of Zinedine Zidane, who could claim a third UEFA Champions League title in just 2.5 seasons as head coach, but he's not taking a Real Madrid victory for granted.
It will probably be the hardest final we've ever had to play. We definitely won't be thinking that Liverpool are weaker than any of the other teams we've played. They certainly aren't. They've earned the right to play in the final through their performances. They've played well and seen off some top teams. Sure, it's been a while since they reached the final, but this club has great history. And they know how to play these big games. We will have to be at our very best. We know that. And on all levels, not just physically. They're an English team, so they will never give up. But they don't just rely on their physical attributes. Liverpool are also very good technically, with a lot of speed and great individual players. We will have to be careful and take all of this into consideration.
Would be a 13th European Cup for Real Madrid, by far and away the greatest record in the competition. Liverpool, by the way, haven't won a trophy in 6 years, and it is a Liverpool team that's been rebuilt even really from the Brendan Rodgers era not too long ago. So experience has been a word mentioned a lot, Phil. How much of an advantage do you think this gives Real Madrid, that they've been there and done it time and time again in recent seasons?
It does, clearly. I think Liverpool have to try and turn that on its head and just embrace the occasion to combat that, because I don't think actually anybody in the Liverpool side has played in the UEFA Champions League final. So it's entirely new for them. For Real Madrid, yes, of course, it is a major advantage. It has been throughout the course of this season, I think. But finals are unique occasions, aren't they? That's where it's going to come into play. Whatever has gone before goes out of the window now. Liverpool will hope to use that to their advantage and just give this a really good go, treat it as a one-off occasion. But the fact that Real Madrid have been there, done it again and again and again, with winning three of the last four, has to stand them in good stead. And it's an interesting point that Zinedine Zidane made in the build-up to this game, when Jurgen Klopp has said the opponents can't just rely on their experience. You know, they have to have more than that. Of course, they got more than that. But Zidane said, nobody's going to be hungrier than them. The chance to win this three times in a row, create a dynasty which will go down in history, What more motivation do they need?
They'd be the first team since Bayern in the mid-70s to win it three times in a row. And I think only Ajax have done it previously other than Madrid in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, and Zidane would be the first coach ever to win the competition 3 years.
So that's European Cup and UEFA Champions League.
So Bayern had two different coaches in the 70s. So did Ajax and so did Real Madrid in the 50s and early 60s. So, I mean, he is standing on the verge of something which may never happen again, quite frankly, given that it hasn't and given how football has changed. And we all thought it was impossible for a team to win it twice in a row, let alone three times in a row. And I know I've said this a lot, but I think it's worth reiterating. He would become the joint most successful manager in the competition's history. It's only his second full season in charge.
30 months or something like that.
Just coming back to the thing you said about Jurgen Klopp, Phil, is that, you know, he was asked about the experience and he obviously had to say, well, I mean, experience isn't everything, given that his team don't have any.
I hope so.
Absolutely. I don't think a single Liverpool player has played in the UEFA Champions League final. But I'm with you. I think they are unique occasions. The only moment, I think, is game management that Real Madrid seem to have. And I think it's very important Liverpool get the first goal. How many times have we seen in the first half of games come out and really score? They often don't just score one, they score two or three. And if they can do that, obviously, they do well not to win it. But if Real Madrid get that first goal, I don't know. I think it might become very difficult for Liverpool.
What have we made of Liverpool's game management? Because, Chris, I think you've rightly pointed that out there. I think Zidane at times makes the best substitutions. Mm. He's even described himself as not the best tactical coach around, but maybe he values the arm around the shoulder, the man management side of it a little bit more. I find that Liverpool have been up and down in terms of game management. If we think back to Sevilla, where perhaps 3-0 up, you should just shore things up and see that out. But then I think of Manchester City when they went 3-0 up in the second half. They defended beautifully to keep out City. Then I think to Roma, which was crazy, and conceding twice at Anfield. It just makes me think that there's such an... And despite Klopp's experience, he has reached the final with Dortmund, losing to Bayern 5 years ago. We don't know how Liverpool will cope in those decisive moments, Phil.
I think that is the key thing. There are examples of them managing games very, very well, like you say. But equally, the Roma one, when they were 5-0 up at Anfield in the first leg of the semi-final, should have been a tie over at that stage. And conceding twice late on, even then, you would have imagined they would have done enough. But there's always just that little seed of doubt somehow. And there is a big question mark over this going into the final, partly because of the performances en route to the final, but also these players haven't been involved in this occasion before. Jurgen Klopp, as you say, has. He's got a huge role, therefore, to play to try and instill the right mentality in his squad. As I say, could work to their advantage. They're not going to harbour fears of previous failures or anything like that. They can just go into this, as in most people's eyes, still as the underdogs and really attack it in the manner that they've played their football in this competition all season. But, and it's inevitable because they haven't been there before, that question mark remains. We just don't know.
Yeah, and from Jurgen Klopp's point of view, I think he'd love to put this final hoodoo to bed because it's been growing since his days at Dortmund and at Liverpool. I think he's lost the League Cup final.
And the UEFA Europa League final.
And the UEFA Europa League
2016.
Final. I think he's had six finals and he's won one of them. He's always come up against some unbelievable teams, but I think he would just like to put that to bed.
It's weird, isn't it? Because if you had to pick one manager maybe in the whole of Europe, you'd want to take your team, if you just had to give them a one-off game and it was a final, you'd give maybe the best man manager around, best motivator around the job for it.
Yeah, I think, look, Liverpool are going to come flying out of the blocks from minute one, I think. That the adrenaline of a final... They'll have more supporters in the stadium. I think we can safely say that than Real Madrid. I think how they start the game, can they go and get that 1-2 goal lead? I don't know. They've done it so often this season, but if anyone can stop them, you feel it's Real Madrid, even if sometimes you think Real Madrid are just on the edge of conceding and surely they're not going to do it again, but they always manage to find a way. It's going to be great. Look, it was 1-0 when they met in 1981, wasn't it, in the final? I'd be shocked if there's only one goal in this one.
Okay, a reminder, Match Day Live, Saturday the 26th of May on UEFA.com and on the UEFA Champions League app. We have full live radio commentary and we're on air from 19:30 Central European Time with the best build-up and big-name interviews as well. And there will be a podcast reviewing the final. And don't forget, the annual UEFA Champions Festival is running in Kiev this week from Thursday the 24th to the 27th of May. It's free. It includes the UEFA Ultimate Champions Tournament featuring the likes of Davos Šukas, Steve McManaman, Andriy Shevchenko, Clarence Seedorf, Henrik Larsson. There'll also be freestylers, Chris's favourite, autograph signing sessions, bands, DJs, the lot, and you can get your photo taken with the trophy. There's more on the website, by the way, UEFA.com, if you are heading to Ukraine. So we've been looking forward to the big match in Kiev, but next we're going to talk about another European final.
Everyone can enjoy football, no matter who you are, where you're from, or how you play. Equal Game is a new UEFA Respect social responsibility campaign that positively promotes inclusion, diversity and accessibility in football throughout Europe.
Well, as we're at the end of the season, there are so many finals, of course, in a European competition. The UEFA Women's Champions League final as well is on Thursday in Kiev, Wolfsburg against Lyon. And we've also had the UEFA Europa League final. Congratulations to Atletico. Alongside me, of course, Rob Daly, Chris Parrott and Phil Placker. We can talk about now about the two goals from Antoine Griezmann, which helped the Spanish side to a 3-0 victory over Marseille in Lyon. Gabby got the third, a rare goal from him to wrap up the title. First, let's hear from the Atletico head coach, Diego Simeone.
It's been a really difficult season, but I think this victory in the UEFA Europa League is much more than just the trophy. I think it shows our consistency, our values of hard work, our value to keep pushing. We've lost two UEFA Champions League finals, one of them with 2 minutes remaining, and the second one on penalties. Last year, we lost in the semi-finals of the UEFA Champions League. This season, we started really badly, and we were eliminated in the group stage of the competition, but we still managed to reinvent ourselves.
Brilliant victory for Atletico. They've won the trophy for the third time in the UEFA Europa League era alone, so in this decade, and also it was farewell for Fernando Torres, who lifted the trophy at the end of his time with Atletico, his second spell, of course. Chris, you were in Lyon, and it looked like a comprehensive, pretty standard Atletico performance in a big occasion.
Yeah, which you summed it up. That's how impressive they have become under Diego Simeone. They scored the first goal, and it was almost as if the whole stadium knew that Atletico were then going to win the game. We've seen it so often in the UEFA Champions League in recent years, and as Simeone alluded, lost two finals in heartbreaking fashion to their neighbours Real Madrid. But they were excellent. Griezmann back in France scored the two goals. A first major title for him, which I think has gone under the radar. Spoke to him after the game, and you could tell that was a big moment for him and for Torres leaving Atletico. You know, the fan who became a legend, his first major title, apart from a second division title.
With Atletico.
You know, and you think of all this great era that they have had, Atletico. They haven't quite got over the line, some of these players, but they have now. And I tell you what, they'll be back in the UEFA Champions League next season and they will be contenders again.
They won in 2010, 2012, of course. Dimitri Payet going off injured in tears as well was a major talking point in the game, and which probably cemented the view that Atletico would go on to win it. And Phil, I mean, a tough run in the knockout stages. There was good opposition for Atletico en route to Lyon.
I think they proved that they were, by some margin in the end, the best side in the knockout stages. It underlines the disappointment they would have felt at not making it out of the group stages of the UEFA Champions League. But they responded, regrouped really well. I commentated on the semi-final against Arsenal, and it seemed, certainly in the early stages of the first leg, anything that could go wrong for them did go wrong. And still, they managed to hang on in there to find a way to escape almost untroubled the early red card Simeone sent to the stands. They responded with the late goal from Griezmann that night as well, were too strong for Arsenal in the second leg, and there was that extra belief, I think, against Marseille, certainly after the first goal went in, that they would go on and win it. Again, not dissimilar to their neighbours, they generally tend to find a way in these big games, and were it not for their neighbours, they may well have won the UEFA Champions League in recent seasons, of course, and some of those players that Chris was talking about would have had a major trophy to celebrate before now. So I think it was well deserved for them, and a really professional, impressive display in the final. You wouldn't expect anything else from them.
And one which continued Spanish domination of European trophies. I think it's 8 Spanish winners in the last 16 years in the UEFA Champions League, 9 in the last 14 years in the UEFA Cup. and the US Europa
fair,
League.
Is it really?
So Liverpool are flying the flag for the rest of Europe in Kiev, though, because Spanish teams have had a phenomenal record of winning finals recently.
OK, let's turn our attention back to the UEFA Champions League final then. Let's get to a couple of your tweets. Madrid 13 on Twitter asking about, you know, an amalgamation of the two teams, Liverpool, Real Madrid. So let's try and pick a front three from Liverpool and Real Madrid forwards. Phil, you can start us off.
There's two that you've got to have, Salah and Ronaldo, I think, because of the seasons that they've had.
I think we can all agree on that, can't we? So who's the other player?
Doesn't leave a lot of room for manoeuvre with the other one, does it? I would say, judging it on this season's competition, is that the criteria?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would go with Firmino, then, as the third of the three.
Chris is nodding.
I'm nodding.
Ahead of Gareth Bale, ahead of Isco.
Yeah.
Ahead of Karim Benzema, been there, done that.
Firmino has been extraordinary this season, I think, and his link-up play. The only thing I'll say is that you said a front three, but Real Madrid probably play over two, so what would you do there?
Let's have a four. Stick Bale in there as well.
OK, Josh wants a prediction, a score prediction on Saturday. What team do you see scoring first and which player? His prediction, Josh goes with Liverpool and Firmino to score first. I think I actually as well think if Real Madrid do concede first, it doesn't bother them. We've seen that time and time again in the competition this season. So do we fancy having a prediction?
Go on, I'll give it a start.
By the way, for people who tweet in, journalists and commentators hate predictions because you only look stupid.
Exactly.
It's very rare that
it's never going to do anything other than come back to haunt you, is it? But I can see Liverpool scoring first, probably Salah. I think it will go to extra time, and I think Real Madrid will make it 3-0.
Do you know what? That's not bad. I like this.
And if we do, remember, it's 9:45 local time kickoff. So if we go to extra time, it's going to be a very late one.
A lot of kids asking to stay up.
Absolutely.
For a little bit longer.
I think Liverpool are going to win, and I think they're going to win by 3-2.
Oh, that wouldn't be a bad final either. Okay, so what's been your favourite storyline, do you think, of what's been your favourite moment from Liverpool's run and Real Madrid's run? Is there outstanding? I'll kick us off a little bit and say Ronaldo's overhead kick past Buffon and the standing ovation there. And then I think Mo Salah's goal against Roma, where he pinged it in off the bar, would be the stand-up moments of these runs.
I am going to go for Salah's second at Anfield after he'd pinged one off the bar. Incredible move, almost a perfect goal.
Oh, the chip over Alisson.
Included an assist from Firmino, which has happened so often, and the scenes at half-time. I wasn't in the COP, traditionally the biggest atmosphere. Anfield's one of those stadiums where the noise comes from everywhere. I was in the top tier of the new main stand, and the scenes at half-time on the concourse, just after Salah had scored that goal to go 2-0 up, it made you extremely jealous not to be a Liverpool fan that day at the stadium because it was brilliant. So that would be my moment, the second goal from Salah.
I think for Liverpool's point of view, it has to be not necessarily one moment in the match, but the first leg of the quarter-final against Manchester City. I think that's when they became genuine contenders and everybody said, wow. Manchester City, of course, given the season they were having in the Premier League, were and expected to be the Premier League's biggest challenges, the biggest danger to the rest of Europe. I mean, Liverpool, in that spell in the first half of the first leg, that is when they, I think, really announced themselves. And we first thought, actually, they could probably actually go on and win this competition, maybe. For Real Madrid, can't argue with you. The Ronaldo goal, I was fortunate enough to be commentating on that, the overhead kick against Juventus. That stands out as the one moment, a genuine wow factor throughout this competition. And you were right to touch on it. The response of the Juventus fans applauding to a man as that went in, that's going to be a memory that lives with me.
So Phil goes for Real Madrid. Chris goes for Liverpool and I stay neutral like a professional. Match Day Live, gents, thank you. Returns on Saturday, May the 26th for the big one in Kiev. We'll have four live radio commentaries. The holders Real Madrid take on Liverpool. Our programme begins at 19:30 CET. All the build-up and big name interviews. And then afterwards, we'll bring you all the key reaction to what's sure to be an enthralling game. We'll be live on UEFA.com and on the official UEFA Champions League app, so you can listen to us wherever you are. And don't forget, there'll be another podcast to download after the final with the best analysis of the showpiece. Keep tweeting your thoughts to @ChampionsLeague using the hashtag MatchDayLive. But for now, from Chris Parrott, Phil Blacker and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.